Well, we were in Japan this last, about 4 weeks ago with Chuck, ministering to the young people there in Japan. And one of the things that that just really impressed me is that we were traveling together, and sometimes I was in one part of the country, and then Chuck would go to the other side of the country. And we met at Mount Fuji, and they told me that I had to sleep with Chuck Smith. And I said, oh, no. I said, man, I speak in my sleep, see, so I have to be very careful. I said, what about if I cuss? What's he gonna say? And I'm thinking all these things, what's gonna happen in, you know, if I say anything I'm not supposed to say. But I'll tell you what happened. That was probably one of the best trips I've ever taken in my whole life. And we've met many trips, and one of the things that God began to show me was, it was like private seminary. You know, I remember when I first came to Calvary Chapel in 1972. The churches, when I got saved through Chuck's ministry, I was driving out of here every night, and the sanctuary was not built yet. They had just put up the tent, and they just moved out of the little chapel. My mother-in-law had been trying to get me to the little chapel since 1968, but I just did not want to go to church. So when I got saved, I went to one of the local churches in the area, and was totally rejected by the church because I had a real vision for the young people. And I was bringing, you know, I had a red van, Dodge van with curtains, you know, with the hippie days. And I have long hair. And so when we came to the church, we were kind of like a thread. And so when we would come in with about 20, 25 people into the church, usually we would always hear bad things after we would leave the church. And so what I started doing is I started just driving kids down here. And began to see that there was a need for a ministry like Calvary Chapel. And it's not that Calvary Chapel is the church, but it's the way God has raised up Calvary Chapel to minister to everybody. And I love the fresh air that God has given to us through Chuck, as Pastor Chuck has given us that freedom while we were here learning all those years, that he gave us the freedom to do and to learn and to make mistakes. And so when I remember when I was young, I was still young, don't get me wrong. But when we were young, I remember when Greg Laurie had hair, a lot of hair. I remember not only all over the place, but we gotten older. And sometimes when we get older, sometimes we lose vision for the young people. There was a saying that says this about young people. A society that hates its young people or its youth has no future at all. Think about it. You visit churches and what do you see? You see old people. And the reason is because many churches do not know how to minister to young people. Usually, churches want to mold them into their image instead of God's image. And this is the freedom that we had here at Calvary Chapel. Whether we wore shoes or not, or the way we dressed, that was not something that was important. It was the change of the heart. As God would move through us. And catching that vision and taking that vision to my own valley where God would, I didn't want to live in the San Gabriel Valley. I was living in Orange County, man, at that point in time. And I just got out of the Marine Corps and I love surfing. I love the beach. And I go, Lord, I don't want to work with all those cholos and all those black people and all those people in the valley. I hate them. I don't like to work with them, Lord. I came out of that environment. I don't want no part of that. Even when I was in high school, you know, most people, when they hear me on the radio, they think I'm a cholo. I'm going to show up with my shirt off, you know, and goatee and the whole thing. And God gave me this accent, so I accept it. I hate it, but I accept it. But God sure is good the way He works. And the way God has raised up, not only a man, but a movement that continues to minister to people. I mean, I look at this and I just get blown away. Because I remember what Chuck said in Japan, and I stole his sermon. Because I remember that, you know, when you begin to talk about the Jesus people movement, it didn't really start here. It started in the book of Acts. And it's still moving. It's still going on. Monday night, you saw what happened here. Every Monday night, man, people get saved. And on your community, you need to catch the vision for the youth. Yes, times are changing, but the gospel is the same. The gospel is the same. And God is looking not only to us to minister to people, but He's looking for us as we look for those young men and young women that God is raising up. Because I was thinking a couple of months ago, you know, here God raised up Mike McIntosh and Jeff Johnson and John Corson and Greg Laurie and a bunch of others that have come up, and now we're getting a little bit older. And then I began to see a gap between those that God had raised up. And because, you know, it seemed like the young people were not responding like when we responded to the gospel. When I got saved, my life was changed. I mean, I came here and I was just blown away by the love of Jesus Christ. And I wanted to come here. I drove 90 miles every day to come here and hear the Word of God, you know, when the tent was put up, because I wanted to grow. And then I took that vision here. Chuck didn't say, okay, now Raw, you go to West Covina or 12th grade, now you go to Riverside. I caught the vision. The vision has to be caught. You have to catch it. We don't need any more videos or tapes. I mean, you are here. You're watching what is going on. And one of the things that I want to share with you this afternoon is the kind of men God uses. The kind of men God uses. So that you can be not only aware in your own congregation among those youth that God is saving and bringing into your church, but these are the type of men that God is looking for to use. Turn to the book of Acts chapter 3 and chapter 4. We'll kind of skim those two chapters. When we were in Japan, and Chuck, I want to say this in real carefully, but I want to share something. When I was in Japan with Chuck, I have never seen anybody so committed to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I mean, we've been around here, and I've watched Chuck work around here, but, you know, I got to go personally with him this time, and we were traveling, you know. We were on the move. When we got to Japan, I mean, we were jet-lagging the whole thing, and they asked us if we wanted to go preach, and they took him. And, I mean, we were tired. And he never said anything. You know, and I saw the servanthood of a man that wants to be used, but a man that wants to be open to the Holy Spirit at any point in time, just to drop in on the flow of the Holy Spirit and, Lord, use my life. And I have never seen in my life, I've seen Chuck anointed, but I will tell you something. When he was in Japan, I saw him the most anointed I have ever seen Chuck Smith speak the Word of God to the Japanese people. Full to capacity, the auditoriums. And you could see the anointing in his life as he was sharing things that I have heard over and over for 20-some years that became fresh to my life. Things that I need to know as a pastor every day. And since I got saved and I came to this church, I have always not only listened to Chuck's tapes to see where he's going and his philosophy and his ministry, but I also make my leadership know and hear the tapes so they can be of one mind and one heart in the same vision God has given to us in Calvary Chapel, because we're not a denomination. Every ministry is unique and different. And the anointing of the Lord, as He anoints every one of us, God is looking for those characteristics within our life so that we can be used greater. And think about this. Look what God already has done here over the last 25 years and in my life over the last 20 years. And yet, you know, here I am, 44 years of age, and I don't know how old you may be, but if God has done such a neat work now, man, what is He going to do in the next 20 years? If the Lord tarries, and if we listen to everything that has been said in these last 2 days here. 7 times the Holy Spirit in the book of Revelation chapter 2 and 3 says what? He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And many times as pastors, senior pastors, assistant pastors, and also as elders or deacons, we kind of close our ears because we think we know it all. And we need to be careful of that snare. We never stop learning. You always learn something. You have to observe those that are around you that are godly men and women. And you can learn something. And not only Chuck, but Kay has been a real blessing to our lives. I mean, behind every good man, there's a good woman. Seriously. And God has done a tremendous work among His children and now His grandchildren. Why? Not because of His faithfulness, but because God is faithful. Surely He is faithful. Look how faithful He is to us just being here today. That He allows us to be alive one more day. A year ago, I went in for an appendicitis attack. And I, if you remember, they found out that I had leukemia and I was going to die. And I brought my wife in and my kids and my whole family. And I called Chuck and Greg, a bunch of people. I said, you guys really pray for me because they want to ship me out in 2 days to go to the, you know, to take chemotherapy, to start chemotherapy down at the City of Hope. And we had just bought the building and the property and all these things were going on in my mind. And Lord, You're not the author of confusion. And within 3 days, as they took my blood and examined it, they brought specialists in. The Lord, during those 3 days, totally healed me. Totally healed me. And I thought it was kind of, I was going to be with the Lord, you know. But I was thinking, Lord, I mean, You just moved us into a brand new facility and You're going to do a tremendous work, Lord. Just let me see a little bit of it. I want to see what You're going... It's exciting working for the Lord, man. Every day you get up, I go, Lord, what are You going to do today? What do You have for me, Lord? I want to know today, God, show me. And then I thought of these characteristics that God gives to us here. Concerning His ministry. First of all, the first characteristic is that God, the kind of man that God uses is that He is a man of prayer. A man of prayer. Look at chapter 3, verse 1 of Acts. And here we see the first qualification that speaks about that man of prayer. Now, this is a man that gives himself to fellowship and communion with God. And we've heard from Steve Mace and others the importance of prayer. As a matter of fact, Thomas Watson said, prayer is the soul's breathing itself into the bosom of its heavenly Father. Think about that. Without prayer, we can't survive. We can't. And many times, instead of praying, we become self-confident. We need to be looking in our ministries for those young people that have a hunger and a thirst for God and they really want to learn so that we can take them under our wing and begin to share with them and begin to pray with them. And through prayer, all these characteristics are born through prayer that I'm going to give you today. These are the characteristics that the Bible speaks about in the book of Acts. So we have to be men of prayer. In verse 1 he says, now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer about 9 o'clock in the morning. And a certain man lame was, notice what he says, lame from his mother's womb was carried whom they had laid at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And he was asking or he was begging for alms from those entering into the temple. And so as Peter was going up to the temple to pray, already God was working in the life of Peter as God was going to use Peter not only to raise up this man as he had been sick all his life, but God was going to show His glory. Peter was open to the Holy Spirit because Peter was a man of prayer. Remember, Peter had failed when he fell asleep. And instead of praying, he was sleeping. How we need to ask God to give us a desire to pray. To spend time in meditation. We can't live, we can't survive without communion with God. It's very important. And I know that as senior pastors, we get busy a lot of times. But we need to take time to pray not only for yourself, for your family, but for the sheep God has given to you that are so precious. Especially the young people of today. We need to see a real move in America and the world of young people once again before the Lord comes again. And the only way that's going to happen is through prayer, as we pray. And this church is a model for that. We can see the evidence of that and the results and the fruit. John Bunyan said, prayer is a sincere, sensible, affectionate pouring out of the heart or soul to God through Christ and the strength and the assistance of the Holy Spirit for such things as God has promised or according to His Word for the good of the church with submission in faith to the will of God. Boy, I want to be in the will of God. I want to be in the will of God every single day of my life. I don't want anything to stop me from doing the perfect will of God. And if you think about it, in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 11, it says, seek the Lord and His strength, His face forevermore. We need His strength. Without His strength, we can't do anything. It has to be His strength that He gives to us. And you need to ask Him. Matthew 7:7 says, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it will be opened unto you. And then thirdly, we need to be watching. Matthew 26:41 says what? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. We are weak men without prayer. We'll be tempted. And when temptation comes and we have our own strength and not the strength of God, it's going to happen to what happened to so many people already. You're going to fall into sin and you're going to be disqualified from the service of God. How we need to pray. Secondly, we need men of faith. Now, this is an important one. Listen to what Peter says in chapter 3, verse 6, the second qualification. And then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. Now, we understand, and this always, my example has been through Chuck and through Calvary Chapel, because I have never believed in asking for funds. Seriously, I hate it. And one of the things that, you know, since we started ministry, it's always been a step of faith. We really believe where God leads, God provides. That's been our philosophy. And I feel that as God begins to move and as God begins to bless, we really need men that are really going to believe that God is surely called me to this thing and that He is truly going to provide for all of my needs. We have just taken on a real venture of faith about a year ago. We were debt free for the last, I guess, 12 years in West Covina, and we were in a property of about 3.5 acres. Everything was paid. We had money in the bank. And all of a sudden, we started looking into Pomona, one of the Gemco stores that had actually closed. But we were going to get that. That was, you know, my vision to go there and start a ministry there. And at the same time, God already was preparing another place for us, which would be an impossibility, you know, in my own flesh to say there's no way we can do that. But what happened, we ran into a property in Diamond Bar that was 28 acres of land with a building. It's all glass building, two-story, 110,000 square foot building. And they wanted $21 million. And we were looking at only $4 million in Pomona. And we were looking in San Dimas to buy a piece of property to build our church. Would probably be about $10 million by the time we finished everything. Well, believe it or not, I took a leap of faith like Jonathan. If they say come up, let's go up and we'll beat them up. If they say, we'll come down, then we'll run. And I called Chuck up and I told him what was going on. And I mean, you know, just to share with him what's going on. And I'll tell you what, the Lord blew me away. He put us into this facility, which was an impossibility, because when we went to the city, they said, you what? You bought the 28 acres in Dimer on Golden Springs and Grand? No possible way. We own it. He says, we're not going to give you a permit. I said, Lord, we stand here by faith. For 4 months, about 4 to 5 months, we couldn't even take salaries. Now, the Lord really purified our church because we had a lot of division going on in our church. A lot of the guys on staff that had been there a long time, they were murmuring and complaining. They weren't men of faith anymore. You're out of the will of God, bro. You shouldn't go there. You shouldn't do this. I've always been kind of adventurous, you know. My wife thinks I'm crazy, but I love it. You know what I'm saying? And I prayed about it, and as we were looking on this side, the Lord was looking on this side, and He dropped us off. Downey Saving Bank came to us and said, I'll tell you what, we will give you the property. I made a bid, and they came back with $17.5 million. And I said, we'll take it. So we needed $2.5 million to put down. And so we came and talked to Chuck and not sharing anything about money. And he says, he figured out, you know, how Chuck is real quiet. And he took his calculator and he started figuring out this whole thing. He says, well, you're going to need about this much. We own a property in San Dimas and then we have the West Covina property. So he says, well, why don't I lend you guys, you know, at that point it was $4.5 million, but he gave Don the other two and he gave me $2.8 million. So we took that, you know. So we put it down. But what happened, we put it down, but our payment was $139,000 a month. To pay Downey Bank and to pay Chuck Smith. So I said, okay, you guys, this is real faith. I did not tell the body of Christ any. I said, you know what, you guys? We purchased a place. We want you to come up on a Saturday. We're going to have communion. We're going to pray. I've been taught like that. And we went up to this place, and about 3,000 people showed up. And we prayed, had communion then. And that was the last mention I've ever made about money. For 4 months, we didn't have any salaries. No salaries. I had a staff of 42 people. We cut it down to about 21 people and made all the cuts that we had to do. And I did not take anything for myself and just began to pray, man, that God would do a work. It's been a year now. And God, every month for 21 people on staff, for the payments that we have to make plus interest, God has been faithful every single day for the last year. Why? Because it's not my church, it's His church. He's the one that provides, and I've been taught like that. Somebody asked me the other day, well, why don't you just, you know, make all these little... I don't want to make, because if it's not of the Lord, then I want God to take it away. And then the city just came back this last week and told us, I told Chuck about this, that they want to buy our corner of the 28 acres. They want 14 acres on the corner of Grand and Golden Springs. And what they want to do is they want to put a Target on the corner. And I said, well, you know, the corner is pretty expensive. Because I remember his corner, you know. So I said, well, you know, we'll just pray about it. And they said, well, look, what we want to do, first of all, they came back and said, we want to exchange 15 acres on the other side of the freeway. We want to give you, plus you guys can keep your 14 acres. So that would, you know, to kind of make it even. Well, we went to look at the property. No good. I said, Lord, you gave us this place, man. We're going to stay here. I mean, our property is such a beautiful place. In front of my office is a golf course. On top of us, there are $10 million homes. Just an incredible place. It's like paradise. And it blows my mind because we're sitting there and I'm going, Lord, what are you going to do here? But you know what blew me away? As we began to look at this whole thing, the city says, okay, I'll tell you what you do. If you guys give us 14 acres of land, what we will do is not only pay you for the land, but we'll take this hill to your left next to your property, and we'll remove all of the dirt and give you the 14 other acres, and we'll pay for the whole thing. I go, wow, Lord. I mean, that's incredible. Why? Because He's on the throne. You know, let me... We have to be men of faith. Men of faith. We got to really believe what God says. We're getting ready. We're praying about doing Somebody Loves You, Los Angeles, to go into the inner city in every city. I have a burden. I mean, Chuck, it blows my mind because Kay had the burden. My wife had the burden. I didn't want to work with no gang members. I don't want to work with a rap guy. You know, all that noise. I hate that noise. And then you got all these white boys looking like black boys, you know, and they're dressing up. That's not right. I mean, I go, that's not right, Lord. And you know what God did? God began to put a burden on my heart. You better love those people. Because if you don't love them, they're going to go to hell. And I heard everybody's moving out of California because what's going on? Hey, well, who's, and the Lord spoke to my heart the other day, he said, well, who's going to stay and minister to these people? And Lord, I'll stay, Lord. Lord, you just open the opportunities and open the doors, Lord, and I will preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to these people. But you're going to have to bring them, Lord. And you know what? God is faithful. We have to take leaps of faith. If God is in it, hey, let's see it work. That's Calvary Chapel. I've been brainwashed. I'm sorry. You know? That's where God leads, God provides. So here we see Peter taking a step of faith when he took the hand of that man and said, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Imagine if he would have stood up and then fell down. Amen. It would have been a sad story. Sometimes we feel like Peter, oh Lord, I don't know about this. I was in Mexico City and God told me one time to take this guy that was on the street to lift him up and raise him up. I didn't do it. I left. I said, Lord, I'm not Peter. And you know what? I felt guilty though. I really believe God wanted me to pray for this old guy on the street. But how many times, you know, we don't take that leap of faith that God speaks about? We need to be men of faith. Thirdly, we need to not only be men of faith, but we need to be men who are not looking for the glory. Not looking for the glory. Oh, it's so neat when people come up and say, what a neat sermon, and they start buttering you up and they start feeding your flesh. And you go, yeah, 8 hours of study, man, a lot of prayer. Yeah, I'm good. No way, man. Who gave you the sermon? Whose word is it? Is it your word or is it God's word? What I have seen is that sometimes as we have little churches and as God begins to bless us, sometimes we can begin to think we are superstars. And we're not. What we've been taught here is that we need to do what? To serve. While you were sleeping this morning, while you were eating breakfast, guess who was cleaning the chapel here today? Pastor Chuck. From all the filthiness you left yesterday here, all the trash, all the gum wrappers, all those things. Because we're not servants. You see, we're pastors. That's sad. And then we want the glory. The glory belongs to God. He's the one that raised us up. He's the one that anointed my life. He's the one that opens the doors, closes the doors, and no man can shut. It is God Himself. And I like what the scripture says about not taking the glory. Look at verse 12, verse 3. And so when Peter saw it, he responded to the people, men of Israel, why do you marvel at this? Or why do you look intensely at us as though by our own power or godliness we made this man to walk? It wasn't Peter. Men look to you because maybe you're becoming famous or maybe because of the sermons you preach. You know what? And you don't have to explain yourself. Man, stay simple. Give the glory to God. Charles Spurgeon said this, there are no crown wearers in heaven who were not cross bearers here below. No crown wearers if you can take the cross of Jesus Christ in this life. He's called us to crucify ourselves. We're not building our kingdom. It is His kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. And we need to be in the will of God. John Watson says, the cross is not only the symbol for the life of man, it is equally the symbol for the life of God, and it may be indeed be said that the cross is in the heart of God. In the heart of God. A man who who takes up the cross, Romans 6:6 says, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. And that glory has to be nailed to the cross, because it's really easy to be puffed up and get full of pride and begin to take the glory and to take the credit when it is God's glory. 1 Corinthians 10:31 says, therefore, whether you eat, whether you drink, whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. It is God's church. It is God's message. You are God's people. I am God's child. He called us to serve. And then fourthly, a man who have good knowledge of the Scriptures. And you're not going to get a good knowledge of the Scriptures if you don't study. Spending time in the Word and in prayer. I mean, it's okay to go surfing and play golf if you're into the whole thing. But sometimes there are people that look to the ministry as a place to vacation. Seriously. To take days off. You know, I'm senior pastor. Well, I'll just take a whole week off. I'll take 3 weeks off. I'll take 4 days. Hey, you know what? We're there to serve. And it seems that the most prosperous we become in the ministry, hey, you know, it's easier to take off time and to do this. What happened to the servant? The people need to be fed. They need to be fed the Word of God. They need their shepherd there to teach them the Word of God. And I think it's important, because here in chapter 3, verse 21, we see that qualification. Look what he says. He says, whom heaven must receive until the time of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all of His prophets since the world began. Notice that he was a man of the Scriptures. He knew the Old Testament Scriptures. We need to take time to study. Instead of going here and there and doing all these things, you need to put time for the study of the Word of God, so that when you stand up to represent God, you speak for God. And that God speaks through you. That's the secret of Calvary Chapel, feeding the flock of God. You see, not experiences and emotional stuff and programs. It's the teaching of the Word of God. That people come with their Bibles and pen and paper, and they come to become educated so they can become also disciples of Jesus Christ. And then, as they become disciples, notice, they will go out to the world to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. We need more men like that in the Scriptures. And then fifthly, he says, men who are filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts 4:8. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel. Ephesians 6:18 says, and do not be drunk with wine, which in its possession, but be you filled with the Holy Spirit. There are too many pastors and assistant pastors sometimes that are not filled with the Spirit, but they're filled full of flesh. We need the Spirit of God to do God's work. One of the key things about Calvary Chapel philosophy and ministry is in Zechariah. Remember chapter 6:4. What does it say? He says what? Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Zechariah 4:6. Okay? That's one of the Scriptures. Not by might, not by programs, not by fleecing. It is what? It is by the power of the Holy Spirit. Put that in your minds. It's not going to work any other way. And it's been proven here. When Calvary Chapel, you know, was teaching the Word of God, we had another group that wanted to become something else, and they wanted more experience and more emotion. That's great. I believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. But I believe that the teaching of the Word of God has to be an important factor in the Scriptures and in your church. You have to be balanced. We have to be balanced, and we need to be men full of the Holy Spirit. Six, we need to be men that are bold. And that only comes through the Holy Spirit. Men that are bold. And that's in Acts chapter 4, verse 3, the first part of the verse. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and of John, they blew their minds. They were just, man, what are these people doing? Secondly, check this out. 6 is men of boldness. 7 is men that were uneducated and untrained. You don't need seminary. The best seminary that I had was here sitting at Calvary Chapel getting taught the Word of God. Seminaries are cemeteries. Seriously. It's bad. You get poisoned. You get poisoned by the doctrines of men. The best education, man, is getting to the Word of God. Study. Go through the Bible. And learn God's Word. Seriously. It's the only way to do it. If God really, you want God to use you. Notice these guys were not educated. They were uneducated. They were untrained. God is the one that educates us. The best. Why? Because He does it not by the means and the works of men, but through the power of the Holy Spirit. He teaches us how to be men of God. And then 8, not only men that were uneducated and untrained, but 8, men that walk with Jesus. The third part of it, look what he says. And they realized that they had been with Jesus Christ. Men that had been with Jesus. Men, have you been with Jesus lately? When your congregation, when people see you, can they tell you've been with Jesus? These are the kind of young men, young women we need to be looking in our fellowships for the youth, for God to use. And then 9, very quickly. Men who do not fear men, but fear God. Verse 19 of chapter 4 of Acts. But Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge. You need to be fearing God, not man. Stand for righteousness. Make a stand. Don't be a wimpy pastor. Stand for righteousness' sake. Let God use your life. And then 10, verse 24 of chapter 4, men who give glory and honor to God. And so when they had heard that, they raised their voices to God with one accord, and they said, what? Lord, you are God who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them. Men who bring honor and glory to God. And then 11, men who believe in the supernatural work of God. Chapter 4 of Acts, verse 30. And by stretching out their hand to heal, the sign and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. We need the balance in the ministry. And then 12, men, I love this one because this has been a role model at Calvary Chapel, men who know God's grace. Oh man, how neat that is. Watch what he says. Verse 33 of chapter 4. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they, and great grace was upon them all. How sweet the grace of God is to us. To know that not only God has forgiven me and cleansed me and washed me, but He continues to do that because He loves me. Man, you know how much Jesus Christ loves you guys? And if He loves me that much, should I not love those that are outside of the church, that are our own church, and they're going to hell? Look at all of our young people, man, that are perishing. Satan's stealing them away through drugs, through sex, through drinking. Young men, young women that actually God could really use, we need to pray for our communities. We need to pray for our church. Those young people that are there, that God will touch them as if they've been with Jesus, and that God will continue to use them tremendously. And then lastly, men who are giving. Men that are not selfish. Look what it says in verse 35. And they laid them at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to each one as he had need. And we know that that was a failure in Jerusalem. But also I saw here that we need to be giving, not always taking. One thing about the pastors in South America and other parts of the world is that they think that the sheep should serve them when they should be serving them. And that's not the philosophy of Calvary Chapel. We need to get down and wash feet. We need to serve the Lord. Because it's more blessed to give than to receive. Father, we come before you this afternoon to thank you so much for your love and for your grace and for your mercies. That you not only have given us, but that you continue to give us even right now, Lord. Lord, I pray that you touch Chuck and Kay and Father Romaine and all the men that serve under this ministry. And Lord, we pray for all those men that have come here with their wives to receive, Lord. Father, bless them and anoint them and use them, Lord. And Father, we pray that you would extend Chuck many more years so that he can be with us, Lord, to continue to teach us and to lead us through the power of the Holy Spirit, Father, in his life. And Lord, that Calvary Chapel would not fall under the snare of begging and planning all kinds of different plans, but that we truly would practice what we preach. We thank you for this time, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.
This is the end of Side 2 and the end of this message. If you'd like more information on tapes or a free catalog, contact Chapel Tapes. The address is P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628.